Kelly, Mr. John Thompson, please.
Mr. Thompson. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John Thompson. I'm the president and treasurer of Massachusetts Blue Shield and a former member of the Massachusetts Port Authority. I'm thoroughly familiar on a personal basis with the proposed airport master plan, the document dated June of 1973. In my opinion, as an individual, the plan offers the best compromise between the economic needs of the area and the very desirable sociological aspirations of the community. I therefore urge its implementation.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Thompson is also a former chairman of Massport, not just a member. Is Mr. Nicholas Morrissey ready? Yes, he is. Following Mr. Morrissey will be Mr. Anthony Athanas of Anthony's World Famous Pier 4 and David C. Stewart.
Members of the absent board, ladies and gentlemen, I served for many years as a member of the Mass Port Authority. I served originally on the recess commission that was appointed by the then Governor Herta, who later appointed me as a member of the authority, seeking to bring all the facilities that are now known as the Massachusetts Port Authority together for the purpose of creating a viable medium within the city of the revitalization of the port and the airport. The present master plan is not strange to me, and I concur in the previous statements as made by Mr. Kelly. I'd like to point out, in addition to those remarks of Mr. Kelly's, that the Massachusetts Port Authority has been responsible for the development of Logan particularly, as well as the waterfront properties, and there are somewhere in the vicinity of 10,000 people employed at the present time on the airport. The entrepreneurs that are subsidiary to all of that employment on the airport are unknown, but I'm inclined to the belief that there are a substantial majority of them, little businessmen in the community here that depend a great deal on the activities at the airport, which in turn sustains a lot of other employment in the community. The airport is misunderstood by many, many people. A few years back, we didn't have too much talk about ecology. Now we hear so much talk about ecology that a lot of people get frightened. I don't believe that you can change the air over the state of Massachusetts without changing it in this universe. I do believe that you can clean up rivers and streams in the harbor. I'm not one who is afraid of progress. The airport master plan, as I recognize it at the present time, simply is requesting permission from the communities that are its neighbors to develop it to the complete extent consistent with that master plan of its runways and the creation of such other facilities on the airport, within the airport boundaries that they are presently under the control of the authority, to the end that the community outside the airport and outside of Massachusetts, industries can be attracted into Massachusetts. Employment can be made available to presently unemployed people in all areas of Massachusetts. Someday, if we don't completely recognize the need and the value of the airport, particularly, I'm inclined to believe that our neighbors up north in New Hampshire will take advantage of Pierce Air Force Base or some other base up there and then we'll be in competition with our neighboring state in attempting to attract, as a result of this airport, industries into Massachusetts. I not alone come here today as a citizen taxpayer in the city of Boston and as a former member of this authority, I come here also as a member of and representative of the Committee on Jobs for Massachusetts. They're working hand in glove with the Mass Port Authority at the present time to bring new industries in. And unless we're very, very careful in disenfranchising the ability of this authority to conduct its business consistent with the needs of the community, then I'm inclined to the belief that all these properties will probably fall back on the taxpaying public in Massachusetts. And if it is, and when it does, it's going to be a tremendous burden for them to pick up. So I would propose that serious considerations be given to the total population of Massachusetts in the interest of this airport, and let the so-called bondholders, who many times take the rap by people who know no better, well-intentioned people, let them continue to invest their money here and let that money develop employment opportunities with good wages and good employment conditions for the citizens of Massachusetts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Morrissey. Mr. Morrissey at one time was the longest serving member with Massport and retired as its vice chairman just about a year ago. Mr. Anthony Athanas is next, and Mr. David Stewart, then Mr. John Herlihy. Then John O'Brien will follow. Mr. Athanas.
My name is Anthony Athanas. I'm president of Anthony's Pier 4 restaurant. I can't say enough that the Logan Airport, in my opinion, is the gateway to Boston, Massachusetts, and New England. Ladies and gentlemen, for an example, when Logan Airport is shut down for inclement weather, our business at Pier 4 drops considerably, and we have to reschedule our employees and have fewer employees. And I'm sure that if it happens at Pier 4, it must happen in other restaurants. The Logan Airport, in my experience and in speaking in behalf of my industry through the country and all the great cities of our country, I think we've got a fantastic airport and tremendously well-run. Credit to the board of directors, Ed King and his staff. There's no question about it. My God. I'm a hard-working restaurant man, and I don't know anything else, but I can also recognize a hard-working crew that is developed at Logan Airport. Really, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's, without Logan Airport, the charisma of Boston, or my development, my restaurant in Boston, could not come to pass 12 or 14 years ago without what has happened in this city. I think we've got a great, great city. We've got a great area, and we have a great airport that could support the traffic to come into the city and go out. Years ago, ladies and gentlemen, they used to build cities. The great cities of the world were built around ports of water because of transportation coming in and out. They were developed because it was there. The market was there, and they could, in the marketplace, they could take merchandise in and bring it out. Now, the airports are the important ports of call in our country and throughout the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Athanas. We realize the pressure on your time and appreciate it. Mr. Stewart, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is David Stewart. I'm a vice president of Charles T. Main Engineers, a major engineering firm in Boston with some 1,000 employees in the city. A few facts for our credentials. I find that we have purchased an average of 280 tickets per month. Of these, 255 are domestic and 25 are international. This does not include our clients who visit us in the course of a working month. We bill out about $750,000 per year in transportation charges for air service. Arthur Powers, our transportation manager, is president of the New England chapter of the National Passenger Traffic Association. He'd be here now if he were not in Texas at a seminar. I suspect he flew. We considered Logan Airport to be a key factor in our continued operation in the city of Boston. It is key to our business interests, to our clients, and the efficient management of the airport is also key, along with the continued and logical, well-planned development which we all see there on a year-to-year basis. We're delighted with the progress being made. We consider that it is in good hands and hope that we continue that progress. The transportation between the Logan and Boston, the additional facilities which are being planned, we feel also are very important. We would like to go on record as feeling that the Logan Airport and the master plan, as we understand it, is well designed to serve the needs of the city and the state, and we wish it all the luck in the world.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Mr. John Herlihy will be followed by Mr. John O'Brien. Please.
My name is John Herlihy, and I'm an attorney living in the Boston, general Boston area, and I believe that the needs of the people of New England, particularly in Boston, have to be serviced, and that the need for expansion grows as the population grows, and we need to have the very safest possible place for people to be coming in the number and out of Boston in the numbers that are traveling now through the air. I had an occasion to be in Shannon Airport only yesterday, and as I left Shannon Airport, that plane took up every single inch of the runway, and I couldn't help but think that if they had 2,500 more feet on that runway over there, that people would have felt a lot more comfortable on that plane. And I believe that the expansion of the runways at Logan is essential to the safety of our community, and I certainly think it is in the best interest of all the people of New England that we keep this airport being run in the same efficient, safe manner that it's being run today, and that we look ahead and answer to the needs of the people in the future. So I'm 100% in favor of the expansion and continued safe operation of this airport.
Thank you, Mr. Herlihy, and particularly for that observation on the runway. It's very meaningful. Charles E. Keller, Boston, Mass. Mr. Keller will be followed by Martin DiMatteo and then Frank McCourt. Mr. Keller is coming. Good. Did I miss one here?
Thank you. My name is Charles Keller. I'm a vice president of the firm of Fairfield and Ellis.
We are professional insurance
managers and deal a lot in international insurance. I don't think a day goes by that business day goes by that several people from our firm aren't at Logan Airport flying to some part of the world. And more we have asked for executives from various firms around the world to come visit us in Boston. Accordingly, Logan Airport becomes a very important part of our firm here and a part of our economic development. And we are very interested that the continued efficient operation and safety of the runways and safety of the airport be continued.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker will be Mr. John O'Brien. I understood Mr. O'Brien was in a hurry, and I wanted to accommodate him, but not to eliminate him, which I did.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John O'Brien. I'm a practicing attorney here in Boston with offices in Boston. The type of practice that I have requires that I go out of the state on many, many occasions. And up until the last 4 or 5 years, it was always taken for granted that we would leave Boston and go to some other city to have meetings between the various attorneys on various cases. And over the last few years, it's come into light now that everyone's coming to Boston, and there's a reason for that. And the reason is the economy, the safe, efficient operation of and I represent the railroads, that's why I put railroads in there, of this airport. I really find it a pleasure to stand here today and to encourage this Port Authority, to encourage Mr. King, and to open up the lifebloods of my profession so that people will be coming to Boston and to continue with the safe, efficient operation that we've had. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Mr. Martin DiMatteo, who will be followed by Mr. Frank McCourt.
I'm Martin DiMatteo, president of M. DiMatteo Construction Company. I have done construction work at the Logan Airport since 1946. I've had the benefit of seeing it grow from when it was just a country airport. And my observation has been that since it's been taken over by the Port Authority, it has grown leaps and bounds. It has been run like a business rather than another agency. And under the leadership of the present director and the board of directors of the Port Authority, I think that I want to give it my wholehearted support because they are conducting a very efficient and safe operation there. As to the expansion of the airport, I feel it's quite necessary from a safety point of view. I have participated in the construction of some 15 or 20 airports throughout the country, and I have some personal knowledge as to the need of safety, and therefore I wholeheartedly support the expansion of the airport. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martin, for coming. Mr. Frank McCourt, please.
Good afternoon. I am Frank McCourt, president of John McCourt Company and secretary treasurer for the Mass Labor Relations, the Mass Labor's Health and Welfare Funds. I speak from that point of view, not from a contractor's point of view. As of the end of June, we were approximately 2.5 million man hours behind in employment in the Commonwealth of Mass this year over last year. That represents about $15 million. Now, if we didn't have the work at the Mass Port, I don't know where we'd be in the construction industry. In fact, as today, jobs let at the Mass Port were greater than the whole volume of public works let in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts for the month of October. Now, we need this construction. It's hurting you as taxpayers. You are paying these men that are loafing welfare and unemployment. Our unemployment tax increased almost 50% this year because of the high unemployment in the Commonwealth. And if someone like the Port Authority can keep going and expand the way as necessary, I'm sure they'll help the unemployment in this state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McCourt. We have three or four statements that the individuals requested as I read these to be read into the record. If they're here and wish to speak, that's perfectly all right, too. First was Mr. Edward L. Bard. He wished to be recorded for the project. I am in favor of continued expansion of Logan Airport. Mr. Carol Lowenstein, Urban Building Services. I am in favor of expansion of Logan Airport as proposed by Mass Port Authority. Robert A. Duffy, Witt Armstrong Equipment Company. We must have a first-rate airport in order to achieve economic growth and develop into a major manufacturing community. Robert Duffy. These gentlemen arrived during the lunch period, and if they're here or wish to speak, it's perfectly welcome. We have a very interesting telegram of support here from the Boston Red Sox. It says, as a frequent and volume user of Logan Airport, we support your development plan most heartily. Cordially, Richard H. O'Connell, Boston Red Sox. John Hancock Company is now recorded. I have reviewed with interest your letter of November 1st, which encloses a copy of Port Authority policy position and summary of conclusions as stated in the draft master plan. It is essential for the future of metropolitan Boston that thoughtful forward planning strike a balance between environmental considerations and the economic growth basic to a healthy, vital community. I have carefully followed your master plan developments and believe that the present master plan realistically works for a proper balance between the environment and the economy. Accordingly, the basic concepts of your master plan draft have my full support, and I urge community acceptance. Very truly yours, Mr. P. H. Peters, Senior Vice President. I believe the time has now arrived for a break. We have some coffee and refreshments, I understand, so it's a little bit after 3. Perhaps at 3:20, we'll get back and resume our hearing. Thank you. This period has ended, and I hope all those out in the hall have had their refreshments and will return so we can start again. Our first speaker in a moment or two will be Mr. Henry Shepherd. State Street, Boston. He'll be followed by Mr. Donald Evans and Malcolm Warrenoff. So is this voice able to be heard in the hall, do we know? Okay. So everyone that's interested in coming in should do so. And if Mr. Shepherd is here, we'll be pleased to start. Following Mr. Shepherd will be Mr. Evans.
My name is Henry Shepherd, and I'm a partner in the Boston law firm of Goodwin, Procter & Hoare. I've been involved in a number of civic enterprises with the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce and other community organizations, including the International Association of New England, which is headquartered here in Boston. I just want to express as a private citizen my support for the Port Authority's plans. In my opinion, it's vital that Boston continue its international heritage. We've lost a lot of industry around New England, shoes and wool and other things, and what we really need now is to improve our international capabilities. We've had a lot of problems with the shipping side of the port. The airport has been one of the great features that, in my opinion, has been able to provide Boston with the kind of international activities that is keeping this city as a major financial center and a major center for capital and expansion of business and industry. So on that basis, I want to lend my support to the program of the Port Authority.
Thank you, Mr. Shepherd. Mr. Evans, please.
My name is Donald J. Evans. I am a partner of Goodwin, Procter & Hoare in Boston. As with many lawyers, I serve as an officer or director of various corporations and financial institutions and charitable organizations and other community groups. One of these is Jobs for Massachusetts, Inc., of which I'm a director, and it's in that capacity that I'm expressing myself today. As you may or may not know, Jobs for Massachusetts, Inc. is a rather unique coalition of government, labor, and business leaders, which is attempting to maintain and increase job opportunities throughout the Commonwealth. As I think we all appreciate, Massachusetts has many assets and some liabilities which impact companies conducting business in the Commonwealth. One often cited liability is that Massachusetts is off in the corner of the country, distant from major marketplaces. Air transportation can eliminate this as an objection in many instances only if it is accessible, safe, timely, and efficient. We in Massachusetts must ensure that we provide this quality service so that companies will continue to utilize the airport for transporting their personnel and products rather than relocating nearer their individual supply and demand centers. Improvement of our number one asset, Boston Logan International Airport, is indeed a needed high priority. It must be prepared to handle the flow of commerce to national and international markets. Improvements at Logan can therefore directly affect the maintenance of current jobs and our ability to create new jobs during and, more importantly, after construction. Ecologically, it should be clearly understood by community, civic, labor, and business leaders that the primary purpose of the Massport Authority's proposal, as I understand it, to extend runways 4L and 9 and to construct a new short takeoff landing general aviation runway 1533 is to reduce the noise and pollutant levels affecting neighboring communities. Specifically, the extension of runway 9 will, I am informed, result in a 30% reduction in sound pressure levels over Point Shirley. Improved capacity resulting from the construction of the runway 1533 will reduce aircraft delay levels, which in turn reduces aircraft pollution emissions by 17%. Finally, the increased flexibility for runway utilization resulting from this proposal will improve operational safety. Some people believe that programs to improve the economy and programs to improve the environment are mutually exclusive. We do not. At the mid-February meeting of the Advisory National Industrial Pollution Control Council in Washington, Frederick B. Dent, the new Secretary of Commerce, made the following statement. The economic costs of a clean environment underscore the importance for a strong, growing economy in the nation. Only a highly productive economy can absorb these costs and continue to meet our other needs. If our economic sources merely remain stable, competing claims for the dollar, both for public and private purposes, will make the task of cleaning up the environment that much more difficult. Too often, the dialogue between the environmentalist on the one hand and the industrialist on the other becomes confused by a lack of common definitions with which to interpret information from various sources, including industry. Unquote. The benefits produced from the implementation of Massport's authority's proposal will not only remedy some of the environmental problems for Logan's neighbors, but will also ensure a continuation of quality passenger and cargo air service for the economic community of this region. And I therefore urgently urge the speedy implementation of Massport Authority's proposal. I would also suggest that there be a survey or study to determine the most acceptable mode of transportation to the Logan facility, whether it be auto, minibus, limo, normal bus, mass transit, etc. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. We appreciate your thoughts. Mr. Malcolm Warrenoff, he's here.
My name is Malcolm Warrenoff. I operate Aerial Photos in New England. We have a fleet of a couple of photo aircraft at Logan Airport. They're light aircraft. And I want to take affirmative side on this master plan. I think it's absolutely essential that it goes through. The air traffic and the noise as it starts building up becomes extremely noticeable to us as operators of small airplanes, inasmuch that where we would normally fly an average of an hour and a half assignment flight around Boston, it's now running up to 2 hours and 2 hours and 15 minutes, and most of this time is actually on the ground trying to get off, and when you get in, trying to taxi in. So it's most essential to put in a stall runway and extend these runways where small aircraft will not conflict with the big aircraft. Because as we're tied up, so aren't the big ones. And this means more energy burnt up, more noise, more pollution. The only way to alleviate this problem and to keep it at a minimum is to get the airplanes off as most expeditiously as possible. The area for improvement is over on the harbor side, and as I look at it, I can only see a lot of pluses there, and I can't really see anything that would be detrimental to the environment.
Thank you, Mr. Warrenoff. We appreciate your time. I have two brief statements that I've been requested to read in the record. Ben Heller Tire Company of 46 Everett Avenue, Chelsea, is in favor of Logan Airport expansion. National Car Rental System. Due to a previously committed engagement, I was unable to attend the full public hearing regarding the Logan International Airport Master Plan. However, I would like my company's position on this matter to be read as a matter of record. National Car Rental and its 100 employees at Logan Airport support 100% the Master Plan. That's in quotes. In the course of my employment with National Car Rental, I find it necessary to travel quite extensively. And in doing so, I usually find myself comparing various airports for convenience and efficiency. Invariably, I find Logan International far superior to any other airport to which I travel. Having been associated with Logan International for a period of 10 years, I have always had a feeling of personal pride in seeing it grow and develop into undoubtedly one of the finest airports in the nation. Additionally, Massport's management should be commended for the outstanding job that has been done at Logan. As an active member of the Boston business community, I feel proud to be associated with the agency that acts as New England's threshold to tourism and business. Sincerely yours, R.J. McHugh, Northeast Regional Manager, National Car Rental System. Our next speakers are Mr. Howard McOdram, Checker Taxi, followed by John Saltonstall and Michael J. Haley. Is Howard McOdram here, please?
My name is Howard L. McOdram. I am Vice President of Checker Taxi Company and also Airways Transportation Company, both of which companies serve passenger traffic to and from Logan Airport. In the first instance, Airways Transportation Company, while being a small company, is totally dependent on the activity at Logan Airport. It carries some 200,000 passengers in the course of a year to and from the airport and hotels in Boston. Checker Taxi Company is only one of the companies in the city, but some 4,800 people in the whole taxi industry regard Logan Airport as their prime source of business. It is the most active stand that we have. It is therefore important to us that anything that will increase or improve the facility at Logan should, by that token, increase the capacity to have more passengers, and more passengers are the lifeblood of the two companies I represent. I'm also empowered by the Executive Committee of the City of Boston Cab Association to record that body in favor of this petition.
Thank you, Mr. McOdram. We appreciate your time and effort in being here. Mr. John Saltonstall, Michael J. Haley, please. Stay here.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, my name is John L. Saltonstall, Jr., and I am president of the Boston Harbor Associates, Incorporated. I appear here today on behalf of the executive committee of that organization. The Boston Harbor Associates is a newly formed citizens group which is interested in all aspects of the Boston Harbor, broadly defined, and in the land uses of the harbor's foreshores. The organization is intended as a forum for the widest variety of views concerning the highest and best uses of the waters and land comprising the harbor area. Thus, we have on our board of directors persons affiliated with the affected local communities, with shipping interests, real estate developers, conservationists, yachtsmen and other recreation people, the media, business, and various government agencies, including, I should point out, Dr. James A. Fay, chairman of the Massachusetts Port Authority. Because the Boston Harbor Associates is a newly formed organization, and because the master plan study here under consideration is long, complicated, and controversial, the associates are not ready to take any position as yet on the merits of the proposed master plan. We would, however, like to make a few comments concerning the Logan Airport planning process in which the Port Authority is now involved, and in regard to the tone, as distinguished from the substance, of the draft. First, we would like to commend the Port Authority for holding the informational hearings, of which this hearing today is the sixth. We feel that this type of meeting enhances the ability of people in the Greater Boston community to find out more about the plans and the views of the Port Authority and to express their own feelings, doubts, and objectives. On the other hand, if real participatory planning is intended by the Port Authority, it is not sufficient, we feel, to invite people to speak, make a stenographic transcript of what has been said, and then simply file the transcript away without paying too much attention to what it contains. True participatory planning requires consultation with responsible representatives of all affected and interested groups at all stages of development of the plan. And from what we understand, the Port Authority's performance to date in involving community and special interest groups in the development of its plans may not have met fully this desirable standard. Secondly, it does not seem to us that the draft plan's description of presently scheduled developments has been presented very clearly, either in the text or in the exhibits. And, for example, there appear to be some internal inconsistencies between the exhibits and the text. Also, we agree with what one of the witnesses implied this morning, namely that a better job could have been done in giving advance publicity to the fact that this hearing was going to be held. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, we would like to call attention to an unspoken premise that seems to run throughout the draft master plan study. It is the assumption that the single most important consideration in thinking and planning for the future of Logan Airport is so to arrange matters that the airport will be able to accommodate every bit of the economic demand for air travel which may be generated in future years, whether generated by Massport or otherwise. If I were a bondholder of the Massachusetts Port Authority or a member of its board of directors, I would, of course, be obliged to place a high priority on the development of facilities, measures, and procedures having the effect of maximizing Logan Airport's revenues. But even from the relatively parochial position of a Massport bondholder, I would have to realize that there are other considerations, in addition to maximization of revenue, which are at least as important in planning for Logan Airport's future. Among these, of course, are the overall land use planning demands of the Greater Boston area, the total transportation plan for eastern Massachusetts, the safety of operations at the airport, and the impact of airport operations on the environment, especially in surrounding communities. In conclusion, I want to stress on behalf of the Boston Harbor Associates that we look forward to a mutually valuable relationship with the Massachusetts Port Authority and hope especially to involve ourselves in a responsible way in the Port Authority's future planning. We trust that the authority does not regard its plans as having been chiseled in stone, for it seems to us that such plans must be modified from time to time as occasion or the march of technology demand. The energy crisis which has suddenly developed is a good example of why plans of the sort being heard today require constant revision. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We'll be sure to arrange a meeting, John, where we can go over these inconsistencies which you suggest may exist. And also, I'd like to assure you that we do not have a hearing, have stenographic recordings, and then file them away. We review them. We act on them. We call the people in who make any suggestion or follow through on whatever type suggestions.
Good. As we'd like to have such a meeting.
Fine. Our next speaker is Mr. Charles J. Patterson, be followed by Mr. Mark C. Wheeler, and then Mr. Melvin Rhines of Boston, Mass.
Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen, my name is Charles Patterson, a vice president of Perini Corporation with our headquarters in Framingham and offices in Boston and other parts of the country. As others have said, we travel a lot to other parts of the country, and we not only take note of airport facilities in other cities in the United States and Canada and other countries, but we are looking at them from a construction point of view as well, with perhaps an engineer or construction man's eye. We have one thought that keeps recurring to us constantly, and that is that Boston must remain competitive with the other major cities of this country. I think that 15 or 20 years ago, it was definitely not competitive, but I think it is now due to the efforts of the Mass Massachusetts Port Authority. I think it's just tremendously important that we keep that thought in mind, because everybody, including those who live in all parts of Boston and all parts of Massachusetts and the rest of New England, will prosper to a degree depending on our transportation facilities that are for the use of all of us, as well as for business, government, and other people who are in this part of the country or who want to come to this part of the country. Secondly, we have the strong feeling that subject to all of the suggestions that are and have been made at hearings like this, and it seems to me that the Port Authority has gone to great effort to hear the suggestions of everyone, and subject to those suggestions, we feel that the planning on the part of professionals is very important on big undertakings such as this airport for Boston. Thirdly, it seems to us that it's important to do just what we are doing, to talk at hearings like this, all of us, with all points of view, and to work out our problems with the Port Authority, to make whatever sacrifices each of us has to make in order to work with the authority and accomplish the good of the airport and other transportation facilities for the good of all of us. So that is what we would like to stress here today, in addition to the other things that have said, that we must be competitive with the rest of the country, and consistent with that, remaining competitive means that we have the most comfortable, the most economical, and the safest air facilities here in Boston that we can possibly have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. I made one miscue. I missed Mr. Michael J. Haley, who should be next, followed by Mr. Wheeler and then Mr. Rines. Mr. Haley still here?
Thank you. My name is Michael Haley, and as a member of the Boston financial community, I welcome the opportunity to voice my support for the Mass Port Authority Master Plan. A modern, efficient airport facilities is very necessary to maintain New England's competitive markets. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Haley. Mr. Mark Wheeler, please.
Mr. King, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Mark Wheeler. I'm president of the New England Merchants National Bank here in Boston. Our institution has about $1.25 billion in assets. We have about 2,000 employees and an annual payroll of something rising $25 million a year. While a very substantial portion of our business is located primarily here in Boston and in the greater Boston area, a significant part of it is derived in the other New England states, as well as from countries as far west as, or from states as far west as California. Thus, it is essential for us in the maintenance of our business to be able to travel freely and flexibly and conveniently and efficiently. The existing Logan Airport and its projected plans for the future have and would assure us of an ability to compete favorably with other institutions throughout the country for the maintenance of this business and accordingly for the maintenance of the payroll which is dependent upon it. I cannot profess to be an authority on airport planning, and it's not a significant part of the banking business. I do know that the Logan Airport has made a genuine and substantial contribution to the economic development of the area in which we all live and in which we are interested. As a practical matter, I don't believe that New England has had any single thing which is more important to its economic development than the airport, than we have had since the demise of the clipper ship about 100 years ago. We have a wonderful airport. Its continued growth and vitality is absolutely essential and fundamental to the continued health and economic growth of this area. We should keep it as it is and make it grow as it needs to discharge this function and duty. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Mr. Melvin Rines, please.
My name is Melvin Rines. I'm a vice president of Kidder Peabody & Company here in Boston. I'd like to talk to this subject on a couple of levels, first of which is on the effect of Logan Airport and its efficiency and its progress on our internal operations. Clearly, Kidder Peabody is an international and a national firm. Our headquarters are in New York, having formerly been here in Boston for a number of years. From an internal standpoint, having this very convenient means of transportation is very important. We are inevitably having people going and coming probably every day of the week. Secondly, from the industry itself and the investment community, as many of you know, Boston was once the hub of the country and some thought of the universe from a financial standpoint. Certainly, it still is very important. We have large pools of capital here, many people working in the management of it and in the promoting of it, and this too means that transportation is very important to this industry. People come from all parts of the country to visit with the analysts, with the portfolio managers, et cetera, up here. The third level that I just might mention too is the high regard in which the Mass Port Authority is held in the investment community, and there I'd be looking at the credit and the management and the foresightedness with which they are regarded by the vast people who are their market for bonds around the country. Again, I mention that we do cover all parts of the country, and it sometimes amazes me that the Mass Port Authority and for example, Jacksonville, Florida is very well known. Ed King is known. They have many times owned their bonds, and that this is clearly something that is considered of high investment quality. So to sum it up, I do think, as a private citizen and as a businessman, that maintaining the convenient, efficient, and progressive airport facility that we have here in Boston is most important.
Thank you, Mr. Rines. We appreciate that. I'll now read into the record on request the statement of William Jeffrey Wakes. Boston, as well as the entire state of Massachusetts, needs the facilities to ensure economic stability and future growth. Expansion would provide for the growth and changes that Boston and the area so desperately need. Next, we have Mr. Arthur Hindman of Newton, Mass. Mr. Hindman is here.
My name is Arthur Hindman of Newton. As a member of the Boston's financial community, I'm in support of Mass Port Authority's objectives for improved airport facilities. Boston has finally become a viable transportation center, which is fundamental to the continued economic growth of New England. Future planning is essential to meet the demands of this economic growth. I urge the Mass Port Authority to adopt a sound and comprehensive master plan for Logan International Airport that will assure Boston's prominence in the nation's economic activities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hindman. Our next speaker will be Mr. John O'Reilly, Jr. of Belmont, followed by Mr. Richard Nichols, Boston, Mass.
Thank you. My name is John O'Reilly of Belmont and also of New England Merchants Bank. And I want to endorse the words that were spoken by President Mark Wheeler about the economic value of Massport to the community. And as someone who has dealt with the authority, as well as many other organizations, the authority cannot be beat for fantastically good management. Thank you.
We're glad you came. Mr. Nichols, if he's ready, fine. We're delighted to have you, of course.
My name is, thank you. My name is Richard Nichols. I'm a lawyer. I'm also a director of the Foxborough Company and the Norton Company. Perhaps you know these companies. Norton Company is the world's largest manufacturer of abrasives. Foxborough Company, I believe, is the leader in its share of the instrument field. I think there are two things about these companies that are worth recording. I've just verified this. At the present time, 95% of all Norton's overseas shipments go through Boston, either by sea or by air. I think at the moment they're running 10 to 12 container shipments a week, ranging up to 500,000 pounds. An interesting episode occurred recently. Our English plant badly needed a specific type of carbon of silicon carbide grain, or the plant was going to be shut down. This was so important that Norton made a shipment of 4,500 pounds by air from Boston to accomplish this need. This is terribly important. Over the last 2 years, Norton has shifted from New York to Boston virtually all of its overseas business. Speaking for a moment about Foxborough Company, their business is to make instruments. They're complex, delicate, electronic circuitry is involved. These instruments and machines don't travel well. Trucks and roadways are not good for them. The practice is to take a very large, complicated piece of equipment, assemble it in Foxborough, test it out with a customer's man on the spot, crate it there, and then ship it to really distant points, Africa, Japan, you name it. The condition that that machine is in when it lands at its destination is a direct has a direct bearing on the amount of additional time, cost, and expense to set it up and make it work. And we have discovered that the quicker that gets on an airplane, the least damage is done. So that Foxborough, at the moment, is sending through the Boston port facilities 75% of its total overseas shipments. This, again, represents a major shift from New York over the last 2 years and is due to the service and facilities of this port. Now, there are two very large corporations. Norton's consolidated sales this year will worldwide will be in the area of $450 million. Foxborough's aggregate sales will be in the area of $160 million. Each of these companies conducts up to 50% of its business overseas. Each of these companies supply their affiliates and plants throughout the world in some part from locations in Foxborough and Worcester. And now, believe me, it's important for Boston and those companies and their expected continuance of business to have the kind of service they're now getting here. I think it would be a tragedy if anything slowed this down or interfered in any way with the first-class management. Now, this isn't to say that Ed King is always right, and Norton Company is debating with him about certain charges and one thing and another. This is normal. But they fundamentally wouldn't think of going any other place.
Thank you very much for coming, Mr. Nichols. We appreciate your thoughts. Our next speakers will be Mr. Harold Kindig, Mr. Jack Marks, and Mr. Stephen Gifford. In between, I'll read a letter in from the Loring-Walcott office. In connection with the public hearing to be held by Massport on November 8th, we regret not being able to attend, but we would like to record our endorsement of the activities of Massport, and in particular its operation and expansion of Logan Airport. Logan is a vital asset to the industrial and business communities of Boston, not only for the substantial contribution it makes in terms of employment and purchase of goods and services, but also as an uncommonly accessible link in the national transportation system. While environmental considerations must enter into all planned development, over-subservience to these factors must not be allowed to throttle the vitality of Boston's economic community. Very truly yours, Lloyd B. Waring, Harry F. Rice. Mr. Kendinger.
Thank you. My name is Hal Kendig. I'm director for Pan American Airways in the entire New England area. Pan Am has been successful in growing in this area, and next year we will probably add $750,000 in payroll in the Boston and New England area, and only because of the sound management and the good plans that have been set forth by Logan Airport and Massport. And so with this thought, as we expand and grow and watch our economy grow, that we also support the master plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kendig. Mr. Marks, please.
My name is Jackie Merck. I'm a business agent for the Electricians Union in Boston. I represent 3,000 people there. I'm a trustee of the Electrical Workers' Health and Welfare, and I represent 12,000 people there. I'm for the airport extension, I'm for Massport, and I'm for the master plan, and for selfish reasons. As a labor leader, I see people, and one need only pick up the newspaper any night and see what they're shutting down in this state. Politics, economics, call it what you want. A lot of people here are out of work. This will help put some of them back to work. This state needs a powerful, good airport facility, and we have one. We have to make it the best in the nation, the largest in the nation. And if somebody, people have to give in periodically, then that's the way it goes. But I think that the master plan is a good plan. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think the Commonwealth of Massachusetts needs it. We need the income here. There's a lot of industries moving out of here. There's a lot of jobs leaving with them. And we've got a lot of people on unemployment. We're higher than the national average, and there's no need that we should be. So for selfish reasons, because I want to see people working, because I represent a lot of them that are out of work, I'm for it.
Thank you, Mr. Marks. Our next speaker will be Mr. Stephen Gifford. Please.
My name is Stephen Gifford, and I'm Executive Vice President at Hunneman & Company. I want to speak for the master plan, which I have read and which I am in favor of. Hunneman & Company considers itself to be a real estate company that offers a full service to all the people in the local area. One of our main concerns is the development of the financial district and the downtown area of Boston, and I consider that having a nearby airport within close range of the financial district is one of the main assets that we can count upon when we're talking to people out of the city of Boston, and perhaps in communities like New York City and in Houston and Atlanta and places like that, which have been very successful in attracting large office users and industry to those local areas. I consider that the airport is among our important assets in the Boston area, and I would number among other assets the presence of our educational institutions such as Boston University and MIT and Harvard, Boston College, and so forth. I also think that the proximity of vacation areas is very important. Cape Cod, the North Shore, the South Shore, the mountains for skiing and vacationing and so forth. Not the least of any of these is the availability of the of Logan Airport, and all the availability of Logan Airport and a Logan Airport which is able to cope with the increasing demands for traffic is very, very important to any kind of a persuasive effort that we bring to bear on companies that are outside of Boston. I can't help but feel that when we are talking to a company in New York or wherever you might wherever we might be making an effort, that to be able to say that downtown Boston is only 10 or 15 minutes away from Logan Airport is an asset that can't help to be persuasive. I want to add a little anecdote that which we have heard from tenants in the State Street Bank building, that they can look out the window over at Logan Airport and telephone a customer or a business contact in New York and say everything's clear at Logan Airport, you're all set, go out there and take off, you're all, it's fine for you to land there. I wouldn't want to take over for the control tower, but that's a preliminary bit of help anyway that we can offer. I also know that you can be counting on someone who perhaps might be coming in from New York. You can always coming up on American Airlines or something, you can put your spyglass out the window and see a plane landing, and you can get in a taxi and be out at the airport in time to meet him his baggage off the plane. And this is a small thing that helps also. I believe also that that we cannot help but expect that by attracting businesses and industries to the Boston area, that it's going to have a beneficial effect upon our enormous tax burden, which is so much of a problem to the downtown area of Boston, anyone who's living in Boston. So I'm in favor of the expansion of the Logan Airport, and I'm also think it's worth mentioning that I sense that the plan includes a considerable amount of sensitivity to the problem of the local people. I know that if I were living in Winthrop, I would be concerned about it, and I know they are concerned, but I feel that that the plan incorporates a considerable amount of sensitivity in that area, and I know that they're making every effort to deal with that problem fairly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gifford. We appreciate your thoughts. I want to read into the record, as requested, a statement from the New England Council. This letter is in response to your invitation to the New England Council to participate in Massport's public hearing on the recently completed draft master plan for Logan International Airport. Unfortunately, the time limitations did not allow our Air Transportation Committee the opportunity for its usual comprehensive study and evaluation of the draft master plan. We therefore will not attempt to testify as to the issues raised or determinations made by that study. However, the Council would like to go on record as favoring Massport's approach of attempting to establish the proper balance between environmental concerns and economic realities. In light of the tremendous economic significance related to the future development of Logan International Airport, it is imperative that the economic as well as the environmental impact be represented in the decision-making process. Certainly, Logan Airport is a major contributor to the region's economic well-being. The magnitude and importance of that contribution is growing rapidly and, more importantly, must continue to develop and expand to meet the future needs of the New England economy. The New England Council has consistently supported Massport's efforts to provide better, safer, and more efficient airport facilities to meet Logan's air traffic demands as part of a larger goal of building and protecting a viable regional transportation system that represents the best possible compromise between environmental and economic considerations. Sincerely, A. Thomas Easley, Executive Vice President. Our next speaker was to be Mr. Richard Bowen of Brighton, Mass., an executive of Flying Tiger Line. He was out in the lobby, however. His car was double parked, and seeing a tow truck, he substituted discretion for valor and left. So we just have to let it go as his card being in favor. Another letter which we have to read is from the Electronics Corporation of America. While I regret that I will be unable to attend your important meeting due to the press of an earlier engagement, I should like to indicate my strong support of what you are doing by this letter. The development of Logan and all aspects of that important facility is vital to the economy of New England and, indeed, to the very survival of the city of Boston. One need no more dramatic example than to have watched the slow death of Boston as one of the nation's greatest seaports to see how the loss of one of the vital channels of transportation can take place to the detriment of the people and industries in New England. Boston's historic prior position, and, indeed, a whole day nearer to Europe in time, did nothing to stay the loss of this vital transportation link, which contributed to the well-being of all local citizens and business in countless ways once erosion due to apathy had set in. Once busy docks are deserted, rotting eyesores. This in spite of the fact that Boston was a great seaport when the rest of the country was hardly beginning to become settled. Boston had one of the first great air terminals in the nation. Further than this, it enjoys the almost unique distinction of being the only airport within a great city. This is by reason of its coastal location and its ability in the past to be extended in the direction of Governor's Island. It was one of the foremost to have a passenger air terminal and airline waiting room. It was the home where many of the great airlines began, including American Airlines. It was years ahead of its time as far as aviation transportation was concerned. The undersigned, who was also a pilot, has seen Logan Air Terminal grow from a sea of mud and cinders to what it represents today in less than 50 years. But all that is in the past. As things stand now, Boston Airport, in terms of its runways and other facilities which make for aviation safety, is behind the times and out of step with modern flying equipment. It seems as if every time someone attempts to extend the runways or do anything that represents an attempt, however feeble, to allow Boston to hope that it can retain its status as an international air terminal and not fall by the wayside and be bypassed, the effort is bitterly opposed by local and, in some instances, personal petty interests. There are even islands in the Bahamas that see a modern airplane infrequently that have runways in excess of 10,000 feet in length. Yet Boston continues to put up with runways so short that with precipitation, slush, or water on the runway, coupled with minimum landing conditions, there is simply not enough runway length on, say, runway 4R, for example, to avoid a disaster in the event of brake failure under such conditions. Furthermore, such conditions confront the pilot with either illegally ducking under the glide slope on his approach or hazarding going off into the water at Winthrop should minor malfunctions occur. Local international airport has yet to experience, Logan that is, although it says local, has yet to experience the big accident on runway 4 that is certain to occur in the near future by reason of the fact that its runway lengths have not been increased in years, perhaps decades, reflecting even the minimal requirements of an advancing air transportation system. And this writer is not unmindful of the accidents experienced in the recent past. Let me offer my fullest possible encouragements in your efforts. Anyone fighting for Logan International Airport is fighting for nothing less than the Boston and its surroundings that should not become a ghost town. As an industrialist, I am deeply appreciative of your efforts and hope for the sake of the people and businesses of this community that they will be successfully. Very truly yours, Electronics Corporation of America, Mr. Arthur G.B. Metcalf. And incidentally, I'm certain that those docs referred to in Mr. Metcalf's letter, and there is some truth to that, are not Mass Port Authority properties. Is there anyone else in the hall that is interested in speaking? We do? Good. Thank you very much. We have three more, Mr. Robert Pelkey, Mr. Gregory Plunkett, and Mr. Leo P. Kavanaugh in that order. We'll read one more statement in and then maybe have a brief recess. Mr. Pelkey.
My name is Robert Pelkey, and I work with Perini Corporation in Framingham. I am in favor of the master plan, as it will increase the safety of the airport, and also it will build up and provide better services for the community of Boston and the surrounding neighborhood and community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pelkey. We appreciate your coming. Mr. Gregory Plunkett, and Mr. Plunkett will be followed by Mr. Leo Kavanaugh.
My name is Gregory Plunkett. I am talking as a private citizen. I am for the airport expansion. I think as a private citizen, as a citizen in business in Boston, I'm very much concerned with the safety of the airport in Boston. I think I'm also concerned with the efficiency and the businesslike manner that this airport has been run in the past. I have the feeling that we would not be able to enjoy the economy, the increase in the economy at the airport has brought us, unless we do continue to expand to keep pace with the economy, not only in New England, but throughout the nation and internationally. I'm very much for the plan. I would encourage those who are considering these steps that they think in terms of what the businessman is looking for, and what the businessman is looking for, I think affects the entire economy of Greater Boston. I'm for the airport expansion.
Thank you, Mr. Plunkett. Mr. Leo P. Kavanaugh, Boston, Mass.
My name is Leo Kavanaugh. I'm speaking in favor of the Mastiff Airport expansion as president of Buck Printing Company in Boston. Primarily, we do business all along the eastern seaboard and as far west as Chicago and into Canada. It's essential that this airport retain its growth of modernity and the new craft that are coming along. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you coming by. I'll read a statement from Mr. John Boyle. He was writing under difficult conditions, and it may take me a moment or two to figure out a word on occasion. Speaking as a citizen of Massachusetts, I support the need for planned expansion of your airport. As a businessman concerned as to the future viability of Massachusetts and indeed New England economy, I speak strongly in support of the current Massport plan. As a businessman dealing in capital goods, lift trucks and material handling equipment at an annual volume of $10 million throughout Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, with over 3,000 active accounts, I am impressed by the independent professional management which has characterized your business at the authority. I have observed the undertaking of the authority and have been impressed when compared with other like operations. The concept of Massport without restrictions should be implemented. That's Mr. John J. Boyle, Waltham, Mass. Now, is there anyone else present here who would like to come up and speak at this time? If not, yes, more than welcome.
My name is Susan Baldwin, and I'm a freshman at Radcliffe. And I just would, so far everyone seems to be for the Massport proposal, and I just would like everyone to consider the effect of the development of the airport upon the people in the communities directly contiguous to the airport, because these are the people who are going to be most directly affected by the development of the airport. And they're, especially those in East Boston, there are poor people who cannot afford to use the airport, and so they won't really be getting the benefits from it. So I think that Massachusetts should consider developing railroads, especially from New York to Boston, because this is one of the flights from New York to Boston are one of the major uses of the airport. And if this was decreased, then probably you wouldn't have to develop, increase the size of Logan, and it would be a mode of transportation more readily available to more people.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here present that would like to say anything at this time? If not, then we'll have a recess of perhaps 10 or 15 minutes and then come back. Thank you.
We have two gentlemen that have indicated a desire to speak. First, we have Mr. John Ryan of the Ryan Elliott and Company. Mr. Ryan? Mr. Ryan, would you mind using that microphone, please?
I'm John Ryan of Ryan Elliott and Company in Boston. I'm a resident of the city and a businessman in the city, and I've served on the Planning and Redevelopment Authority of the City of Boston. I've been former chairman of the Massachusetts Housing Finance Agency. I'm currently chairman of the Business Development Committee of the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce, and I wanted to express my views that this airport is vital to our jobs and to our housing and to the future of the city of Boston, and I support this master plan for the development of the airport. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. Next, we have Mr. Donald Sohn. Don Sohn.
Thank you.
My name is Donald Sohn. I'm the president of Heritage Travel in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's a pleasure to comment relative to the draft master plan study for Logan International Airport. Everything which affects the business health of the Boston metropolitan area affects Heritage Travel. We are completely dependent for our success upon the continued growth of Logan International Airport and the continuation of the high-quality air service which it makes possible. Our business is one of service to the business community, but the service which we render will go for naught if the airport upon which we depend fails to permit the business traveler to depart and return on conveniently scheduled flights, operating on schedule to and from an airport which provides the maximum capability for safe operation. Gentlemen, it seems to me that an economy uniquely dependent upon brain power industries is in similar measure dependent upon our gateway to the outside world. The particular environment which has enabled Logan to grow to preeminence as an airport is in equal measure dependent upon the continued availability of frequent, convenient air transportation. An airport adequate to the needs of our community is important to business in general and vital to our business in particular. For this reason, we heartily support the position of the Massachusetts Port Authority as set forth in the draft master plan study. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sohn. We have two statements that have been offered, and the person that has prepared it has indicated the desire to have their statement read into the record. First, Mr. Costa Androulakis, he says the following: taking into consideration the welfare of our state, the reduction of number of unemployed people, the improvement in air transportation, the progress of the USA, to which we should all try to contribute, the means of improving our way of living, I am in favor of the master plan of our Logan Airport. We are all aware of the air traffic problems that exist in other airports of the U.S. Let us try to avoid such conditions in our Logan Airport. The expansion is a must. Next is a statement by Mr. Lord. I may have some difficulty reading this, but I'll try. I endorse Massport's master plan since it will afford greater operational flexibility, capacity, and margin of safety for aircraft operations. It meets the demands of Logan Airport over the next 10 years and will contribute to the growth of the community, state, and regional area. We at the Hilton Inn at Logan Airport are currently expanding our facilities with a 290-room addition. The balance of the statement indicates that the expansion will meet the passenger demand within the near and short-term future.
The next speaker is Mr. Lawrence Albrey of Beacon Street, Boston. Mr. Albrey.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Lawrence Albrey of Boston. I was a member of the Massachusetts Port Authority during the years of 1961 through 69 and was involved in the initial implementation of the master plan for the International Logan Airport in Boston. I have found that the members and staff of the Mass Port Authority have been considerably diligent working with the FAA and other regulatory agencies of the United States government, as well as the state, other airports, and airport managers. Our airport director, Mr. Mooney, is quite active in the
what is the what is the act? What?
the Airport Operators Council, having been past president of such an organization, who have been in worldwide airport planning. The plan is presented to the public by the Massachusetts Port Authority at this time. I highly endorse.
Thank you very much, Mr. Albright.